Psalm 139 this morning. I'd like to read the psalm in your hearing and then bring out a couple of thoughts that the Lord has put in my heart. It starts in verse 1 with, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. What you quickly realize in the psalm is it's personal. David's not approaching the Lord on a national basis or on a corporate basis, but he's approaching the Lord. It's about God and him. It's so personal. He said, Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God I can say He put His hand on me. I've been told that this is a dangerous statement to make, but it's true. I'd rather not live than to have to live without God's hand on my life. The Word of God said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I love this statement, I'm still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God, and thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and allowing us, Lord, to gather around the Word of God and learn your Word. I pray, dear Father, today that Thou wouldest anoint us with the fresh oil of God. God, that You would help us, Lord, as we look into this message. And Lord, I pray that You would look into our hearts. We know that You are. And Lord, that we would examine ourselves. And Lord, we pray that today that You would be honored and You would be glorified in this service. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm looking today at this statement in verse number 6. The Word of God said here, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. There's some things that I want to address in the chapter and look at that wonder, the wonder. If you turn back with me to the book of Job for just a moment, in Job chapter number, I believe it's 42, just before the book of Psalms. You know, Job has been through a lot. Job has experienced a great loss, the loss of his family, the loss of his farm, the loss of his fortune. And yet, Job said, the Lord gives, and then the Lord takes away. And then Job is confronted by his three friends. Everybody needs a friend like Job's friends. They had it all figured out. Don't you just love running into somebody in life that's got it all figured out? In chapter 42, Job now has not encountered his friends. He's encountered his Father, which is in heaven. And the Word of God said in Job chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need to get to there too. We need to get to that place in our life where we realize that God not only knows our actions, but He knows the very thoughts and the very intents of our heart. He said, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. What Job is saying in so many words is, I was talking when I should have been listening, and I was talking about things that really I didn't understand. In the end, I wonder if that won't be true of all of us to some point or another. And then he said this, things too wonderful for me. Almost a statement, just like David makes in Psalm 139 when he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. He said, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust, in ashes. I begin reading this psalm and rereading it and reading it and rereading it. And this little phrase, this knowledge that's too wonderful for me, it's high, it jumped out at me. And I want to give you three wonders in the chapter that the Lord spoke to my heart about. The first thing he spoke to my heart about, and Sister Brenda touched on this in her testimony, is the wonder of his way. The wonder of the way in our life. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible said here, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down city, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And verse number 3 said, Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted, not with some of my ways, but our Lord is acquainted with all of our ways. I've heard my wife say this before, and I'm not picking on my wife. She may be talking about a family member. It may be somebody that we know. And she said, I love that individual, but I sure don't love their ways. Have you ever thought something like that or heard something like that? Well, can I tell you this? There's never been a time in my life when my Lord did not love me.
There have been times when he did not approve whatsoever of my ways, sometimes of my speech, sometimes of my thoughts. But it never, never, ever changed the fact that he loved me through it all. I'm reminded years ago, and I won't go into the story in detail, but long story short, I was on a plane flying to San Antonio, Texas. We were going on a mission trip. I'd love to take the teenagers sometime out of this country to a country where they don't have cell phones, where they don't have indoor plumbing. Amen. We take a lot for granted. I'd love to take them sometime if they'd like to go. And do help in the work of God where people are doing God's work. Listen, God's work said go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature. I was going flying into San Antonio, Texas, where we're going to drive from there to Laredo. A church was picking us up there in a van. And on that flight, on the way out, I changed seats with the man. That man's been attending our church. I don't see him. Matthew, you know him. Mike Ford. We swapped seats on the plane because on the first leg of the journey, there was one man that got in late. And so Mike got in late and agreeing to go, so his seat was off in the plane all by itself. And so I could see that I'm getting to fellowship with all the other five. There were six of us sitting together and one off by himself, so I just wanted to swap seats. And anyway, long story short, on the second leg of the journey, I said, Brother Mike, let's swap seats. You sit with the men. And I said, I'm needing to study a little bit anyway. I was really just making an excuse to give him that opportunity to fellowship with the men. And ended up a lady came and sat down beside of me with a little daughter. The little daughter, the only word I can think of in the English language to describe her was a brat. A spoiled, rotten brat. Have you ever met one? I didn't raise any. I'm telling you, my youngins didn't lay down on their back at Walmart and kick us in the shin. Say amen. And I began to witness to this lady. That morning, one of our men had told me about being in the Army and how that he was in a situation where somebody was trying to fix him up with another woman. He was married back home and had children. Brother Steve, what he used was his billfold. He pulled it out and took out a picture of his wife and his children. Said, I want you all to see my wife and my children. You know what he was doing? Barney Fife would call it nipping it in the bud. So I thought, well, how am I going to witness to this lady without her thinking? At the time, I was young and handsome. I know, I got over it. David, you did too, so don't look at me like that. So I took out my wallet and showed this lady a picture. Her name was Jessica, of my wife and my children. Asked her where she was from. And she was going to see a grandmother in Texas. You say, Pastor, I don't know where this fits. I'm telling you, the Lord, He knows our ways. I began to witness to Jessica, and the Lord began to deal with her. And in the middle of it all, I'm telling you, it was, if you've ever won a soul to Christ, I was drawing the net, and it looked like everything just going real good, and that little brate. I mean, she would not give up. And to that point, Brother Steve, I had a stubborn streak in me, but I finally gave up. I let the little brat win. And I said, whatever it is, Mama, just take care of it. And so she had to go to the bathroom. I guess that's legit. I don't know. God knows. But she came back, and when she came back, she had all of her makeup fixed up. None of it was out of place now. It was not running down her face like it was when she left. I'm telling you, the woman was weeping. I found out that she had a grandmother and an aunt that had been praying for her for years. All I was sitting beside her on a plane. I love witnessing at 14,000 feet. It's hard to go anywhere. All I was an answer to a grandmother's prayer. She came back and she had everything all fixed up. And I said to her, I said, Jessica, I really had lost hope. I said, did you ever think that maybe, just maybe, if you would start doing some of the things you know you're supposed to be doing and stop doing some of the things that you know you're not supposed to be doing, did you ever stop and think how God would love you? Brother Steve, she kind of bowed her head and went, I said, look at me. And she looked at me. I said, Jessica, I'm going to tell you something. And I'll tell you the same thing this morning. God will never love you one ounce more than He does right now. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter whether you've received Him or whether you've not received Him. He loves you. And you know the joy of this story now is here comes the makeup again. Fresh makeup runs just like old makeup does. And it wasn't too long, Brother Michael, to this young lady at 14,000 feet somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. She can't sing the song, Brother Ralph. I can tell you now the time. I can take you to the place. She can't take me to that place. But she can tell you the time. We got to the airport. I said, I saw we got getting her baggage, and she met up with her grandmother, and I walked over, and her aunt, and I said to her, Ann, I said, did she tell you? She said, tell me what? And Jessica looked at her aunt and said, I got saved on the plane a while ago. And her aunt lost it right there in the airport. I mean, she had her an old-fashioned shouting spell. She was rejoicing. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I mean, she'd only seen her 5 minutes prior. And I looked at the aunt and I said, because she is afraid you'd come unglued right here in front of God and everybody else. The wonder of the way. There's three things in the way, looking at the way, that really brings out the wonder of it all. Number one, what He knows. In verse number one, the Bible said, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down city, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou art acquainted with all of my ways, and there's not a word in my tongue. In other words, God knows it all. I want you to think about something this morning. These things really are too wonderful for us. We can't understand all of that, but we can believe it. I really do not understand electricity, but it does not keep me from flipping the switch and turning the lights on. I don't understand the principle of Freon, Brother Steve, but it didn't keep me from adding a can, and now that Chevrolet's cold. I like it cold. Amen. And I really like it. I didn't have to pay somebody $25 or $30 to do it. Unless he charges me that much for borrowing that hose. Too wonderful. The fact that God knows. Not only is the wonder of the way found out in what He knows, but where He goes. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. The songwriter said, where He leads me, I will follow. Can I tell you this, beloved? It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing to know that when you get there, God's already been there. Where you've been, God's already been. Especially in the trials of life, beloved, and the dark places in our life. There are people right now that I know personally that are walking through some dark valleys. And I encourage anybody that's going through a valley to try your best to get to the foot of the cross and look up and put that trial in light of what He did for you and for me. his suffering. The wonder of the way, it's found in what he knows. It's found in where he goes. But then what he shows. Look at the love and the compassion that God shows. In verse number 10, the Word of God said, He leads me. Even there shall thy hand lead me. Let me ask you a question. Where would you be without Him? Where would you be today without a Savior and a Shepherd that was willing to lead you in this walk of life? The Bible said something about a son that's left to himself bringeth his mother shame. I promise you this, beloved, if you and I were left to ourselves, we'd bring our Heavenly Father shame. Aren't you glad, thank God, when we said yes to the Master, we didn't just get a Savior, but we got a Shepherd. We got somebody, beloved, that would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. Somebody that would lead us. Look in verse 10 again. Even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. You know what a youngin needs sometimes? They just need somebody to hold them. I can remember when I was a kid, I had a bad problem with my tonsils. And until the tonsils were removed, I had a severe problem with earaches. They didn't know then what they know now about how to drain and how to put tubes in the ears. And I've had grandchildren that's been through that, and they got some relief that way. I can remember my mother rolling up the old cloth diapers. We didn't know what Pampers were, and if we did know what they were, we couldn't afford them. She'd roll up the cloth diapers and heat them on the stove and wrap them around my head and hold me in her lap while I was hurting so bad. You say, Pastor, can you remember that? Yes, I can. I can remember a time in my life when my mama came in and I was weeping in the bedroom. And my mother, listen to what I'm about to say. My mother said, honey, Jesus won't hear me, but if you'll talk to him, he'll hear you. Mama knew she didn't know him and she wasn't living for him and she was regarding iniquity in her heart. But she told her youngin, he won't hear me, but he'll hear you. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm trying to get at the joy of a mother that will take you up in her arms and hold you. But there's even more joy for the child of God that knows a father that will take you up in his arms, not just lead you as you walk, but hold you, thank God, when you can't walk anymore. This knowledge is too high for me. What he knows, where he goes, then what he shows. Watch this. He says he leads me in verse 10. He says he holds me in verse 10. Then verse 11 and verse number 12. He said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. I'm telling you, there was a fellow that used to sing a song in the church that I pastored, the first church I pastored. The title of the song was God Walks the Dark Hills. Aren't you glad it never gets so dark that what there's not a light about you as a child of God? David had been in some dark caves. David had been in some lonely places. David had been in some places of hopelessness as far as this world goes. But David could remember there was a light about me. And he could remember that there was a God, that though there was darkness and though there was night, people do a lot of things. I should rephrase that. They used to do a lot of things. And they would wait on it to get dark. We're living in a generation now. They know there's cameras everywhere, and they don't care. They do it right in the daytime. Hey, let me tell you something. I knew we were in trouble in New York City when they were allowing men, I won't even call them men, when they were allowing those of the male species to dump 5-gallon buckets of water on the police officers and nothing could be done about it. All they could do was walk away from it. I told my wife, suppose there's acid in the next bucket. The disrespect for law, lawlessness. We're living in a dark world. But God said for you and I, this knowledge is too wonderful. They'll always be allied about us. The second thing that I see in the message I want to bring to your attention today, not just the wonder of the way. When I look back at my life, I can tell you, I won't go into it, but several times I came that close to death. I'm talking about before I was ever saved by the grace of God. That knowledge is too high for me. But I thought about my life, and I'm going to actually go back further than that now. You see the wonder of the way, but I want you to see in this chapter the wonder of the womb. Before there was ever an ultrasound, God could see what was going on in the womb. Look what the Word of God said here. In verse number 13, he said, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, being yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee." I don't know what this means to you, but I'll tell you, it's too high for me. I have realized that God in His grace spared my life over and over and over again as I look back on my life. But what God allowed me to do as I looked at this chapter is go back when I didn't know anything about life. God still had His eye on me. God still had His hand on me. The Word of God said that God called Jeremiah from his mother's womb. Honey, you're not here this morning by accident. God has a purpose for your life. You say, "Pastor, what do you see in the wonder of the womb?" Number one, He possessed me. The Word of God said, beloved, listen, the child of God in the book of Corinthians is bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. But I want you to know, according to this text, beloved, He possessed me a long time before I ever come to Him. You say, "Pastor, you can't believe that." Did He call Jeremiah from his mother's womb? Did John the Baptist get filled with the Holy Ghost and leap when he heard the news about Jesus in his mother's womb? I'm telling you, a long time before I ever knew He was working, He was working on me. He possessed me. Then the Word of God said, He covered me. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You wouldn't be here today if God hadn't have protected you. The Word of God teaches that He saw me. Look in verse 15 and 16. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In thy book all my members were written. God went ahead and wrote it down. Are you listening to me? Listen, before it was ever finished in the heart and the mind of God, He wrote it down. And in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. He saw me. And then in verse number 17, He thought about me before I ever had the capacity to think about Him or think about anything else. He thought about me. He said, Pastor, I don't know where this is going. I'm going to tell you something right now. Most people's God today is a real little bitty God. But David, the man that the Bible said was a man after God's own heart, he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. The Lord is wanting us to magnify Him and to realize that we're not here of our own accord. We don't belong to ourselves. He thought about me. And then in verse number 18, he said, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. If I should count them, the thoughts, the sum of them, if I should count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Not only did he possess me and cover me and he saw me and he thought about me, but beloved, he keeps me. Isn't that a blessing? He keeps me. He keeps me. The wonder of the way. The wonder of the womb. And the last wonder that I want to speak about in the chapter is the wonder of the wicked. How could a person know that God loves them, that He fashioned them, He has a purpose for them? How could a person know all that David has brought out in these first 18 verses and yet reject Him? That's a mystery to me. The Bible said the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I told my wife not too long ago, we've been blessed. There have been times in our life when we had to depend on the Lord. By the way, beloved, I believe in America we were a lot closer to God when everybody had to depend on the Lord. And when people needed their neighbors. Nowadays they don't even know their neighbors, let alone need them. How many times my mama sent me next door. Next door was about a half a mile. We lived in the country. To borrow an egg or a cup of flour or a cup of cornmeal or a few slices of cheese to make some grilled cheese sandwiches with. And then when Mama went to the grocery store, we carried it back up there and paid the people back, and it went both ways. I've said this for years, and I believe it's true. People drive 100 miles to a Walmart because they needed an egg before they'd go next door and borrow one, because we're living in a generation that's full of pride. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm going to tell y'all something. Before our Lord comes, we may need each other like we've never needed each other before. Well, you say, Pastor, I got a good savings. That ain't going to matter if you can't buy an egg with it. Look in verse number 20 or 19 rather. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. You say, Pastor, when it's talking about the wicked here, who is it talking about? Look in verse number 20. They speak against God. The Word of God said, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Honestly, the first time, I can't go into the story, it takes too long to tell it, but the first time I ever experienced conviction, it was over taking God's name in vain. Even though my mother and father weren't saved and weren't following the Lord, they taught us as children that you don't take God's name in vain. Once in a while in the high school, somebody would take God's name in vain. It was like cold chills ran all over me. And then, beloved, I got onto the workforce. And it got where it was a little easier and a little easier to hear it. And it didn't bother you quite as much. You got hardened to it. Then the first thing you know, here it come out of my mouth. I was sitting in a place alone when the Spirit of God dealt with my heart about that filth that I had let come out of my mouth. But praise God, that day, I didn't pray the sinner's prayer and I didn't get saved. But I did ask my Heavenly Father if there was any way He could take my life and make something out of it. And He answered that prayer. The wonder of the wicked. They speak against God. And then the Bible said here in verse number 21, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Beloved, listen to me. We're living in a country where people no longer are content just to speak against God, but now they have risen up against Him. There are bills right now that they're wanting to pass that help, listen, other nations to fund the killing of the babies. Your tax dollars, my tax dollars. You say, Pastor, David had no right to hate the wicked. In verse 22, he said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. You know why David counted them his enemies? Because they were enemies of his God. I think there's a misunderstanding sometimes with the, you know, you ought to love everybody. Listen to me. The Bible said to be angry and sin not. The Word of God said God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. That's what the Word of God said. Jesus said in John 7:24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? It means it doesn't matter what I think, beloved. Listen, if this book says sodomy's wrong, sodomy's wrong. If this book says adultery's wrong, adultery's wrong. If this book says stealing's wrong, stealing's wrong. If this book says jealousy's wrong, jealousy's wrong. If this book says drunkenness is wrong, then drunkenness is wrong. If this book says don't add to it, then don't add to it. If this book says don't take away from it, then don't take away from it. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, that is not judging on what I think or believe. That is judging righteous judgment. And it doesn't matter if it's your son or my son, your daughter or my daughter, your grandchildren or my grandchildren. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Oh, Pastor, marijuana's legal now. Go ahead if you want to. But let me just say this. If you want to, there's something wrong with your want to. Oh, you say, Pastor, that liquor's legal now. Go ahead if you want to. But if you want to, there's something wrong if you want to. Pastor, it's legal to take the baby now. Go ahead if you want to. But there's something wrong if you want to. If I want another man's wife, there's something wrong with my want to. The Bible said if I delight myself also in the Lord, He'd give me the desires of my heart. People say, well, that's a blank check. No, what that is this, beloved. If you're delighting in the Lord, then you're going to want for your life what He wants for your life. The wonder of the wicked. Do you wonder? Has anybody watched a little bit of the news? Do you wonder, Brother Gary, how that people could go in a department store and load themselves down and walk out in broad daylight and feel good about it? Oh my goodness, where are we? Let me tell you this, it's a wonder to me that America has not already gotten slapped by the God of heaven. I want to promise you this. He will never apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And our day is coming. The only escape that I can think of is something called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming. The wonder of the way, the wonder of the womb, the wonder of the wicked. I'm finished this morning, but never in my life until I went through this chapter this time had I really grasped what I'm about to share with you. In verse 23, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." And then he said, "See if there be any wicked way in me." Now listen, if you read this in its context, you know what David's afraid of, Brother Steve? That what's in front of him, there might be pieces of that in him. The thing that he hates. And beloved, listen to me. If you love Jesus, you hate sin in somebody else's life, but can I get an amen right here? You hate it in your own life. You see, we realize the law of Jesus. You don't even have to commit the physical act of adultery with another woman. You can just look on a woman to lust after her. Jesus said, "You've committed adultery already." You say, "Well, surely he can't know that." Has anybody been listening to the chapter? He knows all that. What a blessing to know that we have a God that's that close to us, that cares that much about us. To put it in Sister Brenda's words, that'll take us back. Amen. That'll take us back. Brother Steve challenged our hearts this morning, and I really appreciated that. The verse that came to my mind is, judgment must first begin at the house of God. We're not going to be in any shape to help them get straightened out there unless we get straightened out in here. I believe a lot of what's going on in America lies at the steps of the White House. But I believe just as much lays at the steps of God's house. I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm not trying to lift me up, our church up. But the average preacher today, in no way he's going to cry aloud and spare not, lift up his voice like a trumpet and tell the house of Israel their sin and God's people their transgressions. You want to know why? He's afraid. You know what fear will do? It'll ruin you. You better fear God, the one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Amen. The wonder. It's too high for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come into the house of God. Thank you for David, the man after God's own heart. Thank you for speaking to him and through him. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as we've shared the Word of God, that, Lord, somebody, Lord, might say it's enough. I don't want to go another step without you, Lord, in my life. I don't want, Lord, to go through this world not knowing where I'll be in eternity. Lord, I pray that somebody this morning would realize, Lord, that God, you've seen them way before they were born, when they were born, up till now, after they were born. God, how much you love them. Lord, that they wouldn't speak against you. They wouldn't rise up against you. But when the Spirit of God speaks to their heart, they would respond. They would come to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.